fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, The weekend.
Yes, The weekend is here, and the week that was by producer Lucas Holt here on The Cale Clark Show is coming up at the end of the show. You don't want to miss that. It's always so much fun. Man, we have a lot to talk about with you guys today. You're going to want to call in right now. 888-914-9149 is a toll-free line to talk to me for free on The Cale Clark Show. It comes out of producer Lucas's very immodest salary. Let's put it that way. 888-914-9149. You can also email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And you can also tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. So much to talk about today. The New York Times, America's paper of record, has been kind of killing it lately with all these really interesting articles about religion, the latest of which has to do with this gal named Carissa Schumacher. I don't know if you've heard about her, but she is a New Age medium to the stars, and she is claiming that not only can she communicate with the dead, now she says she's been channeling, quote-unquote, channeling Yeshua. And if you don't know who Yeshua is, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Yeshua is his Hebrew name. It's Joshua, means God saves. That's what the name means. But yeah, that's raised more than a few eyebrows. I'm going to tell you about her. She's kind of a medium to the stars. People like Jennifer Aniston. I'll get into that in just a second. It's a pretty wild story, but I think it does have a lot to say about where people are at, religiously speaking, in America today. It's also the feast of St. Francis Xavier, possibly the church's greatest missionary since St. Paul himself, arguably. And there's a group in Portugal that are auctioning off digital relics, not the actual relics of St. Francis Xavier, but the digital relics of St. Francis, including a digital version of one of his toes that was bitten off by some lady during one of the times when his body was being moved around from place to place after his death. That's a wild story. Is it okay? Do you think this is good to sell digital relics for any reason? This is a wild thing, and technology has made it possible through this new invention called NFTs, or non-fungible tokens, which are, if you don't know what that means, don't worry, I don't fully understand it either, but I will try to explain it to you later. You probably heard about it. It's a new thing. It's a wild thing. It is sweeping the internet. It is a craze of the modern world. So anyways, if you want to call in, 888-914-9149. One thing about St. Francis Xavier, and speaking of Joshua, Father Joshua Whitfield, who's a popular priest in the Dallas, Texas area, he tweeted this out earlier about St. Francis. I'm gonna find this for you. Let me just dig up his Twitter feed. He's an interesting priest. He's a married priest, and he is at St. Rita in Dallas. And this is what he said. Now, remember, St. Francis Xavier got to know the founder of the Jesuits, St. Ignatius Loyola, and it really kind of changed his life. And here's what Father Joshua tweeted. He said, where is it? Oh, no, it's not in yesterday's tweets. Today is not, is what we're looking for here. Oh, here it is. This is great. St. Francis Xavier shows us that having holy friends can change your life, even make you a saint. Think of the moment that he met St. Ignatius. Maybe all we need are a few friends to dare holiness with, to dare holiness. I like the way he put that. So do you have a friend in your life who challenged you to holiness, who really transformed the course of your life, the trajectory of your life? Or did you do that for someone else? I want to hear about it on this feast day of the great evangelist, St. Francis Xavier. 888-914-9149 is a toll-free line to call on The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So yeah, the New York Times has this piece of, it came out in the Sunday paper. If you get the actual hard copy of the New York Times, it was in the Sunday paper, big splash, big photo spread on this person called Carissa Schumacher, who apparently channels the dead for celebrities out in LA, but most of the time she's hanging out in the forest. And Irina Alexander wrote this piece for the New York Times. And she kind of had a first row seat to how she actually operates. And I just think this is just wild. So this is this took place at the Flamingo Estate in the Eagle Rock neighborhood of Los Angeles. Now, I don't know where that is, but I know we have a ton of listeners out in L.A., in California, so you can probably comment on this. The Eagle Rock neighborhood of Los Angeles to meet the spiritual advisor, Carissa Schumacher. So there are a lot of guests that were there. Jennifer Aniston, right? And do we have some Friends music, Lucas? Do we have some? Yeah, there it is. I never really watched Friends, but anyway, no one told you that you needed a spiritual advisor, Jennifer. And anyway, so she's there. Jennifer Aniston was there. Uma Thurman was there. Andy McDowell, if you recall her. She was reclining on a rug among a heap of pillows. And anyways, Carissa Schumacher was supposed to show up and talk to these celebrities at 8:30 p.m., but she didn't show up for quite a while. A gospel choir sang. Everyone sat around and looked at Miss Schumacher's empty chair and at each other. So Miss Schumacher does not have a personal website, so don't even bother trying to find it. She doesn't have a website. She is booked months in advance, so don't even try. And you probably couldn't afford it anyways because her sessions, being a spiritual medium, are priced at the low, low price of $1,111 per hour. Now, why that number, 1111? She says she likes the synchronicity of that number. All right, so she's kind of a new age practitioner, but she's also into this thing called spiritualism. And this is the belief that the living can communicate with the dead. And I'll get into this a little bit more in just a minute, but very often Catholics are accused of this as well, this sin called necromancy, trying to communicate with the dead. Why? Because of our communion of saints. This is not at all the same thing as what Carissa Schumacher is doing, and I'll explain why later on. But anyways, communicating with the dead, this attempt to do so is really on the rise. But in late 2019, apparently she's been at it for a few years, on the eve of the coronavirus plague, Ms. Schumacher has said that that's when she began channeling Yeshua. Again, who's Yeshua? Well, that is Jesus of Nazareth. Yeshua is his Hebrew name. It's actually the name Joshua in Hebrew, which means God saves. You know this already. And she has transcribed recordings of some of the sessions where Jesus has spoken through her, allegedly. And believe it or not, she's written a book about this. And how interesting the timing of this New York Times piece, just as her book is about to be released into the market. And her book is called The Freedom Transmissions. The Freedom Transmissions. And it came out on November the 30th. Anyway, so that's what this gathering was that was taking place in LA. It was sort of a book party for the release of her book, but also a chance for these A-list clients, many of whom wanted to see her channel Yeshua in person to see what was going on. And they were kind of expecting that to happen, but nobody was quite sure. But it was interesting to see how a lot of these, and let's face it, a lot of everyday average Americans, unfortunately, are taking their cues on all sorts of issues from Hollywood celebrities, even though they may not have studied at any deep level any of the issues. Now, everyone's got a right to their opinion, but the question is, what are you basing it on? What is the evidence for what you're saying? And a lot of these guys want to comment on everything. And yeah, you're entitled to your opinion, but just because you're famous doesn't mean that you're right. Jennifer Aniston apparently has been seeing Ms. Schumacher since 2019. And the New York Times piece says that Aniston has a Rolodex. Now, a lot of you guys listening might not even know what a Rolodex is. Think of it as a physical version of the contacts list on your phone. Okay, so a lot of you guys are old enough to remember the Rolodex. It's a natural round contraption that you spin around. It's got everybody's address card in it. So anyways, Aniston has a Rolodex of healers, astrologers, and numerologists on call. She's acquired them over the last 30 years of her career. And she says that, hey, Krissa Schumacher is the one who's really helped her to navigate personal struggles, work and friendships lately. And here's a quote from Jennifer Aniston. The Yeshua channeling thing, she says, is way out there. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. That's the understatement of the year. And for some people, it's going to be insane, this idea of someone channeling Jesus. But it's more about the message that she's tapped into. Everything she's communicated to me just resonates with me and excites me. Yeah, I want to come back to this in a little bit. So just hang on to that little comment. Rooney Mara, you might remember her, another actress. I think she was in House of Cards, if I'm not mistaken. She's been in a bunch of movies, but she's related to the Mara family that owns the New York Giants football team. So Rooney Mara is another client of Schumacher's, and she talked to Irina Alexander from the New York Times by phone. She wasn't at this little party in LA, but she did talk about how she was open to this idea that she can transmit messages from Yeshua. Here's what Rooney Mara said, quote, I'm pretty much open to everything. I think because she's channeling Yeshua, that automatically closes the door for some people. But she could be channeling anyone. It doesn't close the door for me. End of quote. Anyway, so at this party, the New York Times writer was at this party. And finally, Krissa Schumacher shows up. She's been everyone's kind of waiting for her. She's an hour late. She's 39 years old. Petite woman, walks towards the front of the room, takes off her gold high-heeled shoes and sits cross-legged beneath this floral wreath, which apparently had the effect of looking like a halo over her head. Anyways, someone in the crowd screamed, "We love you so much!" She puts her hands together in prayer and nods to a few of her fans around the room, and she says, "For those of you that don't know me, I'm Krissa. I knew my whole life that I would be a channel for Yeshua." Okay. All right. So anyways, so the writer, Rena Alexander, interviewed her in her home in Escondido, California, outside of San Diego. This is Krissa Schumacher, the medium. And I'm going to skip over what she was wearing, but I'll tell you what she said about L.A. And this is kind of interesting. And by the way, thank you, Patrick. Patrick Alog, our crack researcher here, told me that Eagle Rock is a suburb of L.A., 12 miles east of Hollywood, 10 miles north of downtown L.A. Thank you for that. Ms. Schumacher says, actually, I don't go to Los Angeles hardly at all because she doesn't like the collective feeling of dashed hopes that tends to fester there. You know, there's a lot of broken dreams in L.A., let's face it. And she said, quote, there's this tragic lost souls energy. I think a lot of people go to L.A. to become something or to find themselves, and very rarely do they actually. End of quote. But of course, what they do find there are a lot of cults, a lot of spiritual gurus, a lot of psychics, a lot of healers, and a lot of egos. And this is just really such an interesting piece. So Krissa Schumacher says in the article, I hate talking about myself. Well, then why are you doing the interview with the New York Times? Well, I think I know why, because her book's coming out. But anyways, but she says, I have a lot to say about my journey with Yeshua. And she also went on to say, I can't even say I'm a channel for Jesus without laughing. Neither can I, Krissa. It sounds so freaking blasphemous and frankly, really insane. End of quote. All right, so this is very similar, and the author points this out too. Remember The Secret? The Secret, this is a big fad. Oprah was into this. This is all over the place. There was a writer named Esther Hicks who created something called The Law of Attraction. The Law of Attraction. That became the basis for The Secret. And this is this. So Esther Hicks would say that she was getting messages from Abraham. There are also other people who say, oh, I'm in touch with John the Apostle or the Virgin Mary. And yeah, I mean, obviously, this is going to be attractive to people. This is going to be attractive. If you say that you're in communication with the Virgin Mary or with Yeshua, it's gonna word is going to get out. You're going to draw a bit of a crowd. So, anyways, what else? Okay, here's an interesting part from the interview. Okay. The writer, Irina Alexander, says, we settled on a cluster of rocks above a stream where Miss Schumacher pulled a pipe out of her backpack, packed it with a Native American smoking mixture, and began to recount how she became a channel for Yeshua. People were like, oh, it must be so amazing being Yeshua's channel. And it's not, she said. I mean, it is, but it requires a huge amount of discipline. Okay. And apparently some pipe smoking as well. All right. I'm going to skip over some stuff. So she, in 2011, she met a woman named Danielle Gibbons, who has been allegedly channeling the Virgin Mary since 1994 and also has a YouTube channel. And Schumacher attended one of her workshops. And then she said at that time, she started preparing for the next decade to be a channel for Yeshua. She meditated daily. She cut out sugar and caffeine. So I guess that eliminates me from being a channel for Yeshua. I'm never giving up coffee, ever. That's a gift from God. And she started limiting her diet to only 5 foods. She only eats broccoli, cauliflower, turkey, chicken, and watermelon. And she says, if someone's channel is diluted, there's a kind of film or gunk that the energy gets stuck in and it can't push through. So, all right. That sounds like a fun diet. All right. So she's apparently dated men and women. That's an issue. A lot of sort of crazy stuff in this thing. So you can look this up. This is from the New York Times. Irina Alexander wrote this article about the latest Hollywood spiritual guru, Carissa Schumacher, who just released a book, and it's all about how she is allegedly channeling Yeshua. So Brad Pitt is connected to her. Maybe she can somehow get Pitt and Aniston back together. I'm sure a lot of people want that to happen. I don't know if she can channel that. But, okay, this is just so bizarre. Okay, so here is her. She talks about the first time she allegedly channeled Yeshua. Apparently, people who've seen this happen, they say that when she does it, her voice and her body change because Yeshua's voice is much deeper. It's more measured and has a slight British accent. That's how we know this is completely legit. Because Jesus, of course, as a Mediterranean Jew from Roman Palestine, yes, he undoubtedly historically spoke with a British accent. All right, so the writer Irina Alexander asks her, what is it like to channel Yeshua? And Ms. Schumacher said, it feels like I'm being flushed down a toilet. I go whoosh, and he comes up. I breathe a lot. My body shakes. And sometimes people have to hold me down. They have to hold down my ankles. And coming back into my body is very difficult. It's a little bit like womp, womp. All right. So she started emailing some recordings of her Yeshua transmissions to her clients. One of them got her info to a publisher, Harper One. It's a pretty big book publisher. And that's the publisher that has just released The Freedom Transmissions, which is the book where she allegedly channels Jesus. All right, so this is, this is just wild stuff. Okay, there's so much more I could say here. And by the way, she's already signed a book. She signed a deal for 2 more books of Yeshua transmission. So she better hope that Jesus keeps speaking through her. People say she's not a cult leader. Okay. Jennifer Aniston was interviewed for this piece once again. She said, there's no indoctrination, there's no mind control, there's no shame or isolation. It's not going to be for everybody, but as long as it's not harming anyone, I feel that to each his own, whatever makes it easier to walk through this world with a lighter step, especially today. Rooney Mara said, anytime you're looking to one person for all the answers, that's a problem. Carissa is human like the rest of us, so you have to take from it what resonates and leave the rest. All right. And apparently, at the end of the day, this party that took place in LA, she wasn't able to channel Yeshua. He wasn't able to get through, apparently. So instead, she decided to channel a guy named Ken, who had passed away, who liked fishing and fixing cars. All right. Anyway, so what do you make of this? 888-914-9149's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. And I got to tell you, I think this is very intriguing to me because it speaks of where people are at with respect to religion in the culture And I'm going to try to diagnose what the problem is with this. There's a lot of problems with this, but I'm going to try to unpack this for you in just a couple minutes after the break. Plus, we're going to talk about how the desire to preach the true Christ is kind of on the wane. It's not happening. And we can maybe look to today's saint, St. Francis Xavier, for a little bit of inspiration in that regard. We're going to be right back on the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. React to me. I'll talk to you in just a minute.
This is the Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's almost, it is the weekend. We're playing the weekend. And speaking of the world of entertainment, the New York Times is reporting on Carissa Schumacher, who is a New Age medium who claims to be channeling Yeshua, and that is Jesus. And coincidentally, she is writing a book, has written a book. It just dropped on the 30th of November. She says she doesn't like to give interviews, but she gave one to the New York Times, obviously to promote her book. And she says no to most opportunities, but not doing sessions with celebrities for $1,111 per hour. Okay, well, as producer Lucas was asking me, during the commercial break, would you rather pay that or would you rather just actually hear from Jesus for free? And you can. We'll talk about that. I think you know where to find him, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I do think this has something to say to the spiritual climate that we find ourselves in here in North America at this time. And one of the things that Jennifer Aniston said in this New York Times piece, it's a really revealing quote. She says, "The Yeshua challenging thing is way out there, and for some people, it's going to be insane, this idea of someone channeling Jesus, but it's more about the message she's tapped into. Everything she's communicated to me just resonates," end of quote. So I think this is part of the problem. In this postmodern world, what's been often called the post-truth world that we live in, it's not about the truth, it's about what resonates with me. What kind of, oh, this appeals to me. This really resonates. And sometimes the truth doesn't really resonate with people, especially when you're dying for the sake of the truth. It doesn't feel very good. It doesn't resonate really well. But so not at all are these celebrities interested in whether or not what this woman is saying is actually true historically, but just that it resonates. Just that it resonates. And so I think that's something that's this is kind of the epitome of the climate that we're in, where people are saying, "I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. I'm not religious, I'm spiritual." Utter nonsense for a lot of reasons. But people are spiritual beings. We automatically are going to worship something. We are worshiping creatures, and if we don't worship the one true and living God, we're going to fall into idolatry. We're going to be led astray by some guru like Carissa Schumacher or whatever. Or maybe just the person looking back at you in the mirror. When you unmask every idol that's in the world, pretty much it's the self that's underneath that mask. So I think that's one of the things that this article reveals. But one of the sort of links that I found here with Catholicism is that very often Catholics are accused of doing what Carissa Schumacher is allegedly doing, which is consulting the dead. And they think that we do this when we engage in our practice of intercessory prayer, asking the saints to pray for us, the communion of saints. They think this is, and a lot of other Christians, non-Catholic Christians, say that this is nothing more than the biblical sin of necromancy. This idea of consulting the dead. Well, let's dive into this a little bit more. Well, in the Old Testament, King Saul, of course, who eventually gave way to David, he got in a lot of trouble for consulting a medium, kind of somebody like Carissa Schumacher, who was actually a sorceress, and he was trying to, what was he trying to do? He was trying to conjure up the spirit of Samuel. And this was the Witch of Endor, if you remember her. And this is in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. Here's what it says. So Saul died for his breach of faith. He broke faith with the Lord in that he did not keep the command of the Lord and also consulted a medium seeking guidance. He did not seek guidance from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. And actually, one of the places where I went in Israel, one of my last trips there, was Beth Shean, and that's a really cool place. And that actually contains the hill that Saul was killed on. His enemies actually strung him up on that hill and just kind of exposed his body for all to see. Like, look what we did to Saul, the great Israelite king. Anyways, this command that Saul violated goes back to the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31, it says, do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out, and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. Then the very next chapter. This is Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritualists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? So what's going on here, and how is this evil practice that's condemned in the Bible, how is that different from this idea of the communion of saints, the intercession of the saints? Well, I'm going to tell you the reason. This evil practice of necromancy was trying to conjure up the dead in order to know something about the future or in order to affect the future, whereas with the intercession of the saints, we're simply asking the saints to pray for us to God, just like we might ask our mom or dad or friend or coworker, anybody, to pray for us. Now, if we're going to ask somebody who we know, who's alive along with us, who's also a fellow sinner, if we're going to ask them to pray for us, why can't we ask the saints to pray for us? In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about this great hall of fame of saints who have gone before us, like this great cloud of witnesses, and they're kind of cheering us on like fans in a football stadium. And they want us to succeed. They are made perfect. They're in heaven. As the book of James says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Well, guess what? They have been purified, and they don't have any kind of mixed motives when they're praying for us. And so why can't we ask them to pray for us? They are more alive than we are because they're with God in heaven. This is a totally different ballgame from consulting the spirits of the dead in necromancy and in effect to try to affect future events, control the future. We're just simply asking them to pray, and God's will be done at any rate. So that's a big difference. That's a big difference. So in the New Testament, by the way, this practice is also condemned. It's not just in the Old Testament. In the book of Revelation, at the very end of the book, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it talks about those who don't make it into heaven. As for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So notice the sorcerers, idolaters, that has a lot to do with this necromancy. And this concept of an eternal hell, by the way, I want to talk about that too next week, because there was a big survey that came out a couple days ago about Americans' attitudes and thoughts on an eternal heaven and an eternal hell. So I want to deal with that. Because this is something that comes up, especially relevant for Advent, because in Advent we talk about the last things. We talk about death, judgment, eternal life, heaven, hell, the second coming of Christ. It doesn't seem like cheery subjects leading up to Christmas, the Nativity, but it's important because we're really preparing for the second Advent of Christ, kind of like what we were talking about yesterday on the show. So, as one writer said, we're not looking for something that resonates, right? Jennifer Aniston is looking for something that resonates. It feels good. It's kind of what her itching ears want to hear. But what we do want is the truth. And the true message of Jesus Christ doesn't just resonate, it has the power to save us. Let's go to the phones right now. Paul is calling from Youngstown, Ohio. Hey, Paul, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Cale. Yeah, I just wanted to say that people like this are very dangerous to Christians, especially to the Catholics and the Orthodox, because they'll speak about Jesus and Mary and people that we worship or honor. And a lot of people will get confused. They'll think, well, if she's getting a message from Jesus or Mary, we pray to Jesus and Mary, and they could fall into a deception that way. I know years ago I was in a bookstore, and I looked at the cover of a book, and I asked the clerk, I said, is that supposed to be an image of Jesus or Buddha? And she got kind of offended and said, what difference does it make? And I said, well, it makes a huge difference. And then I left the store, and, you know, if you ask these people, do you believe Jesus Christ is God, they'll probably say no. And if you say, do you believe he's present in the Eucharist, they'll probably say no. But yet they want us to believe that he's present and giving messages through them. It's all nonsense.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, and this is something that St. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians. He says, if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit that you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. And people are very willing to, I want a Jesus that suits my fancy, right? I want a Jesus that looks just like me and thinks exactly the way I do. And if you look at, there was this group that was really popular in the 90s. You probably heard about this if you were around back then. It was called the Jesus Seminar. They're a group of scholars that, now overseas in Europe, people laughed at these guys. They were a total laughingstock, but they really made it big in the media in North America because it was very newsworthy. They were on the cover of news. Magazine, Time Magazine, because they were preaching another Jesus. John Dominic Crossan was one of the members of that group, a scholar, ex-Catholic priest, who said that Jesus was never resurrected. He wasn't even buried. His body was thrown down from the cross into a shallow grave where it was then eaten by wild dogs. Well, that's going to make the news. That's new. That's not what I heard. That's not in the gospel. The gospel sounds kind of boring. I want something new and fresh. It's going to sell magazines. It's going to get internet clicks. And so at any rate, when you look at these guys and what they personally believed, a lot of them were kind of hippie scholars age in the 60s. The Jesus that they constructed looked very much like them, looked very much like the person looking back at them in the mirror. They had a very famous book called The Five Gospels, in which they took the four Gospels of the Bible plus the Gospel of Thomas. They threw that in there too. A lot of people are very fond of the Gospel of Thomas. It's not a legitimate source for the life of Jesus. It's a very late document, but we'll get into that another time. But a lot of people they just love the Gospel of Thomas. Anyways, so they took all of the sayings of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever seen a red letter Bible. It's where the words of Jesus are in red ink. So what they did was they voted on the sayings of Jesus that they thought were legit. And if they thought, oh, Jesus actually really said it, they would vote. They had this vote, and they would vote with these beads. And they'd vote with a red bead if they thought he really said it. And they'd vote with a pink bead if maybe he said it. A gray bead, probably not. And they put a black bead in the pile if they thought, no, he definitely didn't say it at all. So at the end of the day, they came up with only, I think they only came up with like maybe 60% of what Jesus is quoted as saying in the Bible, actually attributed to him. The rest they thought was made up. And by the way, even this whole concept of red letter Bibles is a little bit, it's not like the apostles had a tape recorder going when Jesus was speaking. The Gospels do say he was speaking for hours at a time, keeping the crowd spellbound. So they're obviously compressing some of Jesus' teaching, but that doesn't mean they're making stuff up. You were not allowed to make things up in that culture. You had to accurately transmit the teaching of your master. Actually, if you did say it word for word, if you did like kind of have a tape recorder going and a transcription of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, for example, and you would be considered a bad student of Jesus because the rabbis expected you to hear the teaching, assimilate it, get the gist of it, pass it on intact. You couldn't make it up. You couldn't add to it. Couldn't take away from it. You had to pass it on. But yeah, so these guys, these scholars in the Jesus Seminar came up with this Jesus of their own construction who wound up looking a lot like them. And I think that's what a lot of people are itching for even today. They want a Jesus that's going to affirm whatever they think is right, affirm their personal lifestyle, which they don't want to change. They don't want to bring into conformity with the gospel and the teaching of the Catholic Church. So if you want to know the real Jesus, read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. They are historically accurate. They are, there really are only legit sources historically for knowing about Jesus. And I think they stand up very, very well to the tests of historicity. They are excellent biographies for their time. They're not modern day biographies. They're Greco-Roman biographies, but they adhere to a different set of rules, but they're exactly the kind of thing you would expect coming out of that time period. And believe me, the writers of the Gospels are concerned about getting it right about Jesus. That's what Luke says in the beginning of his Gospel. He says, I painstakingly researched all this stuff. Read the prologue of Luke's Gospel. I looked into it to make sure that I got this right. And St. Paul says this in all of his letters. I gave you one quote from 2 Corinthians. In Galatians, he says, if anyone comes to you preaching another Jesus than the one that we preach to you, let him be accursed because it's not legit. And so, anyways, I'm kind of on a rant right now. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. All right. Let's go to Will, who's calling from California. Hello, Will.
Yeah, you say that you only ask the saints to pray for you. What about the prayer to St. Anthony? St. Anthony, St. Anthony, help me find what has been lost. Is that not trying to change the outcome of the future, and is that not necromancy?
No, it's not, because you're not trying to predict the future. You're just praying that you might find. And you know, actually, Will, it's really sad that people only, and I got to confess, I'm one of these people, because I use St. Anthony to help find lost golf balls. And golf balls are expensive, man. Anyways, and believe it or not, and he comes through for me. But in reality, St. Anthony is a great saint, and he was a lot more concerned about finding lost souls rather than lost items. So it's kind of too bad that people only use him for finding lost items. But I don't think that's on the same level. I really don't. But thanks for the call, Will. I do appreciate that. We're kind of up against a break right now. We got to get out by rule of the FCC. So I'll be right back after this. 888-914-9149. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the program, 888-914-9149. As I mentioned off the top, it's also the feast day of St. Francis Xavier. It's December the 3rd. Hey, it's also my brother-in-law Joe's birthday. Happy birthday, Joe. Looking forward to celebrating with you later. God bless. I had to say that, or else I'd kind of be the pariah of the family. But anyway, so we're praying for you, Joe. And one of the things that we were talking about earlier with respect to these mediums that are out there, the New Age gurus that are infecting Hollywood. As producer Lucas was telling me during the break, it just speaks to how much people are looking for the truth. They're looking for something. We've got it in the Catholic Church, but sometimes we don't necessarily want to share it, and we take it for granted. And Father Billy Swan, who is a priest in Ireland, has written a piece for Word on Fire about St. Francis Xavier and our waning zeal for souls. And he mentions a quote, a well-known quote from St. Francis Xavier, and obviously he was really close friends with St. Ignatius of Loyola. He himself, and actually they came from very similar backgrounds. The Xavier family was a military family in the Basque region of Spain. And of course, Ignatius of Loyola was a soldier, really was kind of into that lifestyle. Christ totally turned his world upside down after he was injured in warfare. And then he kind of befriended Xavier, and he was like kind of his right-hand man with the Jesuits. And obviously Xavier went to India, evangelized in Asia quite extensively. Incredible, with very little resources, but he had a lot of zeal, a lot of zeal. And this is what Francis Xavier wrote to Ignatius when he was on the mission field in India. He said that he was really sad that so many people were not becoming believers in Jesus. They weren't becoming Christians. And he's pretty clear about why that is. He said, look, there's nobody to make them Christians. There's nobody to make them Catholic Christians. And he said, it's not because we don't have enough personnel, but there's simply a lack of zeal. And this is what he said in his letter to Ignatius. He said, quote, again and again, I have thought of going around the universities of Europe, especially Paris. That was obviously one of the most prestigious universities in the world. And everywhere crying out like a madman, riveting the attention of those with more learning than charity, with more learning than love. What a tragedy. How many souls are being shut out of heaven and falling into hell thanks to you? Wow. Okay, so that's what he wanted to cry out among all the universities of Europe. Say, hey, we need you. We need you on the mission field. We need you on this team. And the mission field can be next door. It can be your street. It can be the next cubicle. It can be the basketball court. It can be wherever you find yourself. And so we have to do this. Our baptism calls us to two things: to become a saint, holiness, let God make you a saint, and help other people do that. That's called evangelism or your apostolate. And so that's what we need to do. But it shouldn't be a burden to us. It should be a joy. And that's one of the things that in the article Father Billy Swan talks about. We should actually want to do this. It shouldn't be just, oh man, we know we should. We're commanded to do this. I guess we probably should. But no. We've really got to want this. And St. Jose Maria Escrivá, he said that your apostolate, your sharing of the faith, that has to come from the overflow of your interior life. You can't give what you don't have. And so if you don't really have an interior life going, you're not going to want to share it with others. And we should want to share our faith just as passionately as we want to talk about our favorite restaurant or a new movie that we've seen. Hey, have you seen this? I got to tell you about this. It was amazing. Why don't we want to do that with our faith? So a key line from this article that really stood out to me: don't be content simply being a disciple, but make disciples too. Don't be content just being a disciple, but make disciples as well. And this is really what fired up our Lord. Zeal for your house will consume me, right? That zeal. So that's the zeal that St. Francis had, and we got to have that as well. All right, let's go to the phones. Jeff is calling from Augusta, Maine. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good, good. Thanks for calling in.
Well, it's an interesting story line that I just caught on the radio here. And anyway, I had an uncle that fell into the Jim Jones Church in Southern California.
Oh, really?
And from its earliest days, and he was actually a veteran of the Guadalcanal battles. You know, ended up in the water after the ship sank. All those those brutal stories. But anyway, he began selling assets of the. Finally, the house, and his wife finally divorced him, and it was shortly after that that Jones headed out of the country, and my uncle went with him, and ultimately, you know, paid the price there in the end. But what I remember really, what first tipped me off was I'd come across letters that this uncle had written to my father, inviting our entire family to come down and join him. Because he never felt more alive. He never felt more attuned with mankind and helping humanity. And it was abundantly clear in the letter that that Jones was of incredible charisma,
mm-hmm.
and clearly had filled this niche or this void or this need that obviously my uncle felt,
yeah.
and was an otherwise educated, intelligent man, but
yeah.
but had this predisposition, and that ended poorly. He actually, for those historians that might know the Jonestown story, that he actually, my uncle actually appeared briefly in one of the videos that invited people to come up and speak. And then ultimately my father had to go down and claim the body. So,
that's such a tragic story. And yeah, and Jeff,
it's just reminiscent of,
it
of
is.
What you were speaking to there.
Yeah, it really is. And Jeff, like you said, he was an educated man. I think a lot of these celebrities are educated people. And the draw, sometimes it's the charisma of the leader, looking for truth, looking for spirituality. And we are created for that. But unfortunately, if we don't go to the right source, tragic consequences, and certainly in the case of Jonestown, can ensue. And so the stakes are very, very high, not only for our eternal souls, but for our life in this world as well. And so Jeff, I really want to thank you for that call. We're kind of up against it right now. Actually, there's a movie coming out. Leonardo DiCaprio is going to be starring as Jim Jones in a new movie that will be made by MGM about that tragedy. But anyways, before we run out of time, producer Lucas Holt has prepared the week that was on The Cale Clark Show. Here it is. Wow, we came in quick there. I was busy eating some Halloween candy. Yep. It's still there. And I'm still here. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Oh my goodness, Lucas. Lucas has been threatening to play Taylor Swift. Ilona in Miami.
Being thankful, with people that serve us. Sometimes we don't really appreciate those things and don't say thank you to that people.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very important work, right? People who are cleaning washrooms, people who are sanitation workers. Whoever thanks them? People often walk past them and, they don't exist. And just to look that person in the eye and say, thank you very much for what you're doing. Jean is calling.
When I picked up Relevant Radio, the importance of prayer came back.
I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that today is really one of the most momentous days in the history of the United States. The Dobbs versus Jackson case arguments were heard today in the Supreme Court of the United States. This absolutely is the biggest case regarding abortion that the court has heard in quite some time. The New York Times is also reporting this, that some Italian bishops have taken an extreme measure when it comes to what happens after birth, usually baptism. Baptism, in fact, in Sicily, there is now a 3-year prohibition on naming godparents. I got an absolutely, very humbling email last night from Joe, who is listening on the internet. He says, while traveling for my job, I was in a company car, I hit seek on the radio, and it stopped at Relevant Radio. And on Cale's show that day, he spoke of what brought him back to the church. And one of the things was Jesus is saying, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I wanted to thank you, Cale, and Relevant Radio for welcoming me home. I finally am at home. I began RCIA. It has made a difference in my life, my family, my walk with Christ. Hey, what a week it was on The Cale Clark Show. Thank you so much, producer Lucas, for pulling that together. I look forward to another exciting week with you next week. Hope you all have a blessed weekend. Hey, for everybody who didn't get in on the call screen, call back Dan. Your call is important to me. Call back next week. Everybody have a great weekend. Lucas produced. Patrick took your calls. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.